Let's stand together and sing our gathering hymn, Rejoice, Ye Pure in Heart, first and last verses. It's in the hymnal, number 312, where it's also printed in your order of worship. Let's stand. Thank you. Be seated. May the Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather to worship God here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here today and that you're a part of our service. And it is a very special service today. As you see, we will be celebrating All Saints Sunday today. And that will be a very special time in our worship a little later on in our service. We are glad that you're here. We also want to welcome those joining us on our radio broadcast or by our live stream or on Facebook. We are thankful that you are part of our worship today as well. And if there are any guests in our service today, please fill out one of the visitor's cards so we'll be able to know how to contact you if you'd like for us to. Just place that in the offering plate when it's passed. There are a number of things I want to mention very quickly. Of course, we have our regular activities this week with Kids Club at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, and then choir rehearsal at 6 o'clock as well. We want to say thank you to those who provided chips, drinks, trunks, and candy for the trunk or treat. A good time was had by all, it says in our bulletin. I have not heard that since I was pastor of Holly Springs Baptist Church back when I was in seminary, and the Joy Group was a group of senior adults from three different churches, and always they had their minutes, and the last thing in the minutes every time was, and a good time was had by all. But it was a good time had by all. We also want to say thanks to those who came out yesterday for the work day and worked to improve and beautify things for our special event that's coming up next Sunday. We had a good crowd of folks. Let's see, Wayne Brown, T.K. Warren, John and Tracy Vick, Debbie Hill, Bruce Brown, Armando and Barden Torres, Lynette Bunch, Gerald and Jennifer Taylor, Catherine Jenkins, Jay Revel, Terry Saylor, Earlene Futrell, Tommy Bird, Marietta Prepared Lunch. And if I missed anybody, I'm sorry. I wasn't here. We were out of town for our wedding anniversary trip. And thank you all for your graciousness in recognizing our anniversary, and we appreciate that very, very much. Now, there are some other things I need to mention. Today, we'll collect our annual offering for the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. The week of prayer is November the 5th through the 12th, so please be praying for that very important ministry. Also, our Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes are available, and we have a couple of them here, maybe some more in the library or one of the classrooms. Take those, fill them up, pray over them, bring them back, and bless a child who is in need. There'll be a brief church conference on November the 19th at the end of our service, just to discuss the final results of the fiscal year 2022 and 23. Also, not in your bulletin, the long-anticipated Murfreesboro Baptist Church T-shirts have arrived. And Tommy Bird will be in the library with those today, right after service. If you ordered T-shirts, you can go by and pick them up. If you can't do that today, he'll also be here from 10 to 12 tomorrow morning, and you can come by then and get them. Now, the other thing, next Sunday, we have been leading up to it, anticipating it, our 175th anniversary as a congregation. 175 years that God has been at work here in this church in Murfreesboro. And we are looking forward to that celebration. Now, we have asked you to RSVP if you're going to be here for the meal, and we hope you will be here for the meal, but we need to know you're going to be here for the meal in order to be able to prepare for that. If you have not yet done it, and just because you come regularly on Sunday morning does not mean you don't need to do it. You need to let us know. If you haven't done it yet, we're going to give you one more chance. Call tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, call the church office and let Teresa know that you plan to be here. And please do that, and that'll help us to make sure we've got enough food for everybody who's going to be here for the lunch. But we are looking forward to that celebration. It'll be a wonderful time of worship. We have a number of former pastors and some staff members who hopefully will be able to be here. Some of them will be participating in leading the worship as well. And so a lot of friends and former members who will be here. So please, please be here as we worship God together and celebrate that important milestone in the life of our church. Now, we've gathered here to worship God, and I invite you to join me in our call to worship that comes today from Psalm 34. If you'll join in on the bold print. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And so, O God, our Father, as we come before you now to worship, we pray that you would still our hearts and our minds, that they would be centered on you. That in this time, Father, as we worship you, as we lift our hearts to you in song and in prayer and praise, as we remember those who have been a part of our congregation who are now with you. As we hear your word, as we respond to it in faith and obedience, oh Lord, in all these things, may you be honored and glorified, and may your church be built up and strengthened for the work of your kingdom here in this place. We pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen. Let's stand and sing together number 559, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, 559.
Come Thou Fount of
let's have the children come for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Now, were y'all listening when Pastor Mark told us what today was? What was it? It's All Saints Sunday. So the question is what is a saint? I don't mean a definition that you get out of the dictionary, but what do you think a saint is? A good person. What do y'all think? Do what? Being kind to people? Got anything, Aaron? All right, well, today we're going to talk about six saints of Murfreesboro Baptist Church, and they are six people that died within the last year. So since last All Saints Sunday. And you may not know all these people. I do happen to know all of them. And a saint is someone that we recognize as having lived a life where they were a follower of Christ, which meant we can look up to them and know that they believed in Jesus and believed in God and that they did what God wanted them to do. And now they're living with Him. So do we want to be saints one day? We want everybody to see in us what we see in these six people. That they love Jesus and they love God and they follow Him. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank You for recognizing us and helping us to become saints. We know that we can do this by following You. In Your Son's name, amen.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we join together in prayer this morning, I'm sure that there are many people who are on our hearts and our minds. One request that we have this morning especially is Faye Phipps, I think that's Jenkins. She's in Wake Med with heart issues. And she is Catherine Britt's cousin. And so we want to remember her especially this morning, as well as others who have been sick recently or who are going through difficult times. So let's join together now in prayer. And I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close our time by praying together the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, as we come before You in this time of prayer, we are mindful that there are so many needs around us, that we are living in a world that seems filled with chaos, a world that there's so much violence, a world where we see war and heartache, and where we see the daily troubles and trials of life. Father, we ask Your help in this time. We're grateful that we can call on You, that You have called us to make known our requests to You with thanksgiving. And so first, Lord, we bring our thanksgiving to You, our thanksgiving that You call us to prayer, our thanksgiving, most of all, for what You've done in our Lord Jesus Christ, for the salvation that you have brought us in Him, a salvation that you had planned even from the foundation of the world, a salvation that you have brought about down through the ages as you worked among your people Israel and you promised to send the Messiah. And in your Son Jesus, you sent your Messiah, that perfect King who would rule over all and who would save us from our sins. Father, we thank you that you have sent your only begotten Son, that in Him divinity took on humanity, that God the Son became a human being, truly God, truly man, and came and lived among us to show us what it means to be in a right relationship with you, and died on the cross to set us free from our sins, to make our forgiveness possible, and rose from the dead in victory over sin and death and Satan. Oh God, our Father, how grateful we are for these wonderful blessings. And Lord, we thank you for the promises that you've given us in Him, the promise of your presence in our hearts and in our life together through your Holy Spirit, the promise of His return in glory when He'll raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new creation, the hope of heaven and the resurrection at the last day, the hope, Father, of your love and your presence and your grace. Father, we come lifting up those who are in need, praying your blessings for them. You know about each situation, Lord. You know about each need. Father, we know that there are always varied circumstances, but Lord, we know that you care about each one. And we pray for your will in each situation, Lord, for we know that your will is always best. We pray that where it could be your will, you would bring healing and you would restore health. Father, where you choose to work in other ways, we pray that you would accomplish your purpose in these situations. And Father, for those who grieve, we ask your comfort and your strength. For those, Lord, who are suffering because of the violence of others, we pray your help. For those, Father, who are suffering because of war, we ask especially your help for those who are being affected, those civilians, Lord. And Father, for those who are so desperate in their situations, we ask, Father, that you would be there and help them. Lord, for the wars that are going on in our world, we pray that you would bring them to an end, that you would intervene, that you would accomplish right and justice in them, and Father, that you would bring peace. Lord, you are so good to us. You bless us in ways that are beyond our imagination and understanding. And we thank you for these blessings, Lord. And Father, we thank you that we can call on you and lift our prayers to you now. In the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns together with you in the Holy Spirit as one God forever and ever. And we thank you, Lord, that our Lord Jesus taught us that prayer, and we offer it now to you with one voice, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We come to the time now in our service where we remember the saints who have gone to be with the Lord over the past year. All Saints' Day has a long history in Christian history, a time that was set aside to remember those faithful ones who had gone to be with the Lord. And so we come to do that now. In your bulletin, you find an insert with the litany of remembrance and hope, and I invite you to join in now on the bold print in that reading. God of the ages, we praise you for all your servants who have done justice, loved mercy, and walked humbly with their God. For apostles and martyrs and saints of every time and place, who in life and death have testified to your truth, we praise you, O God. For all your servants who have faithfully served you, witnessed bravely, and died in faith, who are still shining lights in the world, we thank you, O God. For those we have known and loved, for husbands and wives, parents and grandparents, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, teachers and colleagues and friends, for all who by their faithful obedience and steadfast love have shown the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, we honor you, O God. Keep us grateful for their witness, and like them, eager to follow in the way of Christ. And then at last, bring us all together at home with you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And now we come to remember each one. Clifton Cliff Shell Collins, thanks be to God. David Alexander Day III, thanks be to God. Larry Wilson Futrell, thanks be to God. Charles Livingston Paul, thanks be to God. Rosemary Thomas Royce, thanks be to God. And Doris Titworth Taylor, thanks be to God. And now let us pray the unison prayer that's printed in your service. Almighty God, you have surrounded us with a great cloud of witnesses. Grant that we, encouraged by the example of your departed servants, may persevere in running the race that is set before us, until at last we may be with them, attain to your eternal joy, through Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit as one God forever and ever. Amen. A beautiful hymn of thanks for the saints, number 567. Would you stand and sing as you're able?
writer of Hebrews, "For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us offer continually a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." And in that spirit, let us give. Indeed, Lord, all things are thine. No gift have we, Lord of all gifts, to offer thee. And so, with grateful hearts today, thine own before thy feet we lay. Amen. Be seated. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. And in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name. Thank you. Please forgive me if I get a little emotional this morning on All Saints Day. I often think of those who've gone on to be with the Lord now who had such an impact on me. And a little while ago, just so many of those names flooded across my mind. And I'm so grateful, so grateful for the life that they lived, for the care they had for me, for Joanne, for so many others that they invested in. And I just pray that I can have an impact like that on people that I come into contact with. Father, as we turn to your word now, open our minds and our hearts. Lord, help us truly to give thanks for the saints. And help us as we reflect on what they share in now and what awaits us as we follow Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. One of those people was Sarah Margaret. She was one of the finest disciples of Jesus Christ that I've ever had the privilege to know or to serve as her pastor. Sarah Margaret had taught a ladies' Sunday school class in her church for many years. In earlier years, she had served in WMU praying for and supporting missions and missionaries. And she was a true servant. She was always ministering in some way to people in her church, in her community. In fact, she's the one that when we ordained Barden the other day that I mentioned about the lady who was an unordained deacon. That was her. Her husband had died about 10 years earlier, and it had taken a lot out of her, and some said that she was never the same after he died, but she was still a faithful servant of God. But her health had begun to fail. It started out with a relatively simple surgery that she never really recovered from. And then she started having some other problems. Problems with her hands and her legs, and then with her swallowing, and then with even talking. But she still wanted to serve. And when she got to the point that she couldn't get out and visit people anymore, she started calling them on the phone. And then when her voice got to the point that she couldn't talk clearly anymore, she started writing notes and sending cards. And then when she got to the point that she couldn't write legibly anymore, she had her daughter to write the cards and the notes for her. That's how determined she was to serve. And then came the dreaded news. They had finally determined the diagnosis. It was amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS for short, commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And many of you know what an awful, awful disease that is. The prognosis was grim. The growing paralysis would continue until finally she just simply wouldn't be able to breathe. And then that would be it. About a week before she died, I was visiting Sarah Margaret in the hospital, and she seemed a bit agitated that day. Her daughter was there with her, and her daughter had gotten one of these little children's pads. You've seen them where it has the plastic cover on it and the gray background, and you write on it, but then you can pull it up and it erases whatever you've written. And it had gotten to the point that you couldn't understand most of the time what she was trying to say, so she would scribble on that pad. And I could tell Sarah Margaret was trying to tell us something, but neither her daughter nor I could make out what she was trying to say. And you could tell that the agitation was because she wanted to tell somebody something, but she just couldn't get it out. And so finally she asked for that pad, and she scribbled two words on it. And her daughter and I looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, and finally we were able to tell two words: heaven forever. And when we said that, she smiled as best she could, and she pointed up. I said, "Miss Sarah Margaret, would you like to hear some scripture about heaven?" And she smiled as best she could, and she nodded. And then I read this passage to her, which is our text for today from Revelation chapter 7. John writes, "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you're the one that knows." And then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship Him day and night within His temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I can't begin to tell you how many times I've read those words to offer comfort to someone like Sarah Margaret, who was coming near the end, or to a grieving family at a funeral. There's a beauty in this passage that it's just beyond analysis and explanation. We simply have to admire it like we admire the beauty of a rose, only multiplied a multitude of times. Because you see, it gives us a picture of what happens in heaven. What happens in heaven? Now, to experience the book of Revelation and its visions properly, we need to understand what kind of literature it is. It's an ancient Christian apocalypse. An apocalypse. In fact, the name that John gives the book is just that, the Apocalypse of Jesus Christ, and it's usually translated into English as the Revelation of Jesus Christ. But New Testament scholars like Charles Talbert and Mickey Eford and Bruce Metzger have helped us understand that apocalyptic was a literary genre. It was a way of writing that pagans and Jews and Christians in the ancient world all used. It used vivid images, it used numbers, it used colors and those kinds of things to paint a broad picture. And in Revelation, the picture is one that calls believers to faithfulness in the face of both persecution and prosperity, reminding them that Christ has won and that God will ultimately have His way, and that what really counts is to be on His side, whatever that may cost us in this life. While apocalyptic often dealt with future events, it was never intended to be a specific, detailed outline of the future. As Charles Talbert put it, apocalyptic doesn't provide us with a video preview of future events, but rather a series of portraits of God's ultimate victory. Maybe the closest parallel today to apocalyptic is the editorial cartoon. Now, with the demise of newspapers, we don't see those as much, but you still see them online sometimes. And you know how editorial cartoons work. Back when Russia was still the USSR, if you saw a bear in an editorial cartoon, what did that represent? It represented Russia. If you saw a tall, slender man with a white hair and a white beard and striped pants and an old-fashioned coat and a stovepipe hat that had stars and stripes on it, who was that? Uncle Sam, United States. If you see a donkey or if you see an elephant, what's that? Democrats and Republicans, right? Images that portray things. That's what apocalyptic does. Now, I like the way that Bruce Metzger put it when he wrote, "The book of Revelation is unique in appealing primarily to our imagination, not, however, a freewheeling imagination, but a disciplined imagination." In other words, we use our imagination when we're reading Revelation, but we understand that certain things mean certain things, not just whatever we want them to mean. Okay? Well, John's vision is remarkable. For a second time, he sees the heavenly worship around God's throne. In chapters 4 and 5, he saw God on his throne surrounded by 24 elders on thrones. And within that circle, there were four living creatures who constantly sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And all creatures in heaven worship the one who sits on the throne as the creator of all things. He is sovereign. He's Lord over all. He sits on his throne in heaven. He's absolutely holy, holy, holy. That's as holy as you can get in the way it's expressed in the ancient languages. He is sitting on that throne. The four living creatures proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy." And he's merciful. That rainbow that looks like emerald signifies his covenant mercy. And then later in the vision, John saw a lamb standing before the throne, a lamb that had been slain, but now it was living. And all creation, every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and in the sea, worshiped, praised the lamb along with the one sitting on the throne. And then here in chapter 7, John sees the heavenly scene again, but now he sees this great multitude that no one can number from every nation and tribe and people and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They're clothed in white robes. They have palm branches in their hands. And they're crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels and all the heavenly creatures and the elders join them, falling on their faces and worshiping God. And then one of the elders asks John, "Who are these robed in white? Where have they come from?" John doesn't know. So the elder tells him that they're the ones who've come out of the great ordeal. They've been faithful to the end. They've been loyal to the Lord no matter what it costs them. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, he says. And their robes signify the righteousness of Christ, and the palm branches celebrate their victory in Him. So they're before God's throne, serving Him day and night in His heavenly temple. And I love this part. "And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them." They won't hunger or thirst anymore. The sun and the scorching heat won't bother them anymore. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And He will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Every time I read that passage or hear these words, something stirs deep within me. Sometimes it makes me think of that Christian song, "I Can Only Imagine." "Surrounded by Your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for You, Jesus, or in awe of You be still? Will I stand in Your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine." Now, you know, through the years, I've heard about people saying, "Well, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm so tired, I just want to sit down in a rocking chair and rock for the first 10,000 years. Or I hear golfers talking about getting to play golf in heaven, and fishermen getting to fish all they want to in heaven. Friends, I'm sorry. That's not the picture John paints. The picture that John paints describes the victorious saints, the church triumphant around God's throne in heaven. He gives us this portrait of what happens in heaven, that the victorious saints worship God as He shelters them and the Lamb shepherds them. In heaven, the saints continually worship and serve God within His heavenly sanctuary. You see, even there, it's not really about us. It's about Him. It's about Him. The fact is that Those who want to go to heaven so they can do forever what they want to do simply wouldn't be happy there. I mean, think about it. A lot of folks who claim to love God, they don't even want to worship Him an hour a week here on earth. But there we'll continually, constantly be worshiping Him. And no wonder, because you see, in heaven, the saints celebrate the victory Christ won through His death and resurrection. He is the Lamb that was slain. Now He is alive, and He's at the center of the throne. He's the risen, victorious Christ who holds the keys of death and Hades. He rules over all. And we'll spend eternity celebrating His victory. And we'll not only celebrate His victory, we'll enjoy His presence, because in heaven, God shelters His victorious saints with His own presence, protecting them from all harm. You see, now through the Holy Spirit, He is with us. But when we're there, we'll be with Him in His immediate presence. And even as God on His throne shelters the saints with His presence, the Lamb shepherds them for all eternity, providing for all their needs, protecting them from all harm, guiding them to springs of the water of life. That kind of puts Psalm 23 in a new perspective, doesn't it? The one who shepherds us through this earthly life will shepherd us into His presence and throughout eternity. Well, that day, after I read this passage to her, Sarah Margaret was satisfied. She calmed down. The agitation left. She was at peace. And just a few days later, the Good Shepherd, who had led her through the triumphs and the trials of this life, gently entered her room and said, "It's time." And led her through death and into the presence of God, where she joined that multitude that no one can number, worshiping and serving Him around His throne. She went to heaven to be with Him forever. And you know what? When our time comes, if our trust is in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, so will we. So will we. Oh Lord, we thank You for the promise of heaven and for the hope of resurrection and for the promise of new creation when You make all things new in the new heavens and new earth. And indeed, heaven comes down and heaven and earth are made one. Oh Lord, help us to live in that hope. Help us to live our lives recognizing that unless we are oriented toward eternity, our lives here will really have no meaning, no matter how much good we do. But Lord, that it is because we look forward to being with You that we seek to live faithfully in this life and seek to impact the world for good in this life. So bless us now, Father, in this time of commitment. Help us to yield our lives to You in all things and to be obedient to You in all things. We pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to stand and sing number 560. And as we sing, if God is speaking to you, if there is some commitment you need to make, if there is some thanksgiving you need to offer, If you've never followed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and today you want to do that, whatever your need is, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.